Welcome to Patched Atlas, exploring the systems behind modern technology.
Welcome to Patched Atlas. I have a bit of a short topic today because I want to talk about VPNs. And the reason I want to talk about them is kind of recently I landed in Lithuania and saw a massive NordVPN ad at the airport. The irony of the name versus the headquarters was kind of interesting. I didn't even realize they were from Lithuania. I kind of thought that, like, Njala or something, they were Swedish, or what is it, the Molvad VPN. But no, apparently they're stationed in Lithuania. And the reason I want to talk about VPNs is I think they're comically understood. Comically misunderstood, in fact. And I kind of want to fix that. So let's talk about what a VPN actually does, because the name tells you nothing useful. It's a virtual private network. It describes exactly what it is and yet nothing about what it's actually doing. So normally you connect to the internet, you go to google.com. What happens is your connection request is routed through the backbone network provided by your internet service provider. Basically, everyone can see the path because they're the ones guiding it. They can see the destination, not the content, if encryption is in place. That's a important thing to talk about. The big worry here is that your internet service provider can see which websites you visit. And they can and will provide that data to any authority that requests it. A VPN is an encrypted tunnel to a middleman server, so traffic exits from there. The destination sees the VPN server, not you. The ISP sees the VPN server, not where you're going. And that's the whole trick. It's just a middleman. And what it's designed for and what it's actually used for are considerably different things. Like, it's not really built for consumers. It was built for enterprise remote access. And it was also used heavily by nerds in the early 2000s for multiplayer gaming. Now, the main use case was like a salesperson in a hotel needing to reach like an internal company server. And what actually happened is streaming came along, and then people started looking at it as ways to change their geolocation. Because if you think about it, if your middleman is in the US, then your Netflix believes you are in the US and provides you with better entertainment choices. Now, that's not the intended use case, but actually these days it is the intended use case. That's probably 90% of VPN use. And the technology is legitimate, but it's been kind of repackaged in a misleading way, because there's a lot of things it doesn't do, like anonymity. Anonymity is not something that will be granted purely by a VPN. Like, cookies are a thing that exist in your browser and are tracking you despite the VPN. Fingerprinting of your devices, of your behaviors online, that happens. Like, your Google login doesn't care about your VPN. It's connected. Like, it's also, that's mostly true. Like, I think some VPNs kill trackers. I think Proton VPN kills some of them, maybe all of them, for example. But like, cookies, logins still make fingerprinting trivial, and people tend to trip up. It's not usually the VPN, but it's their use hygiene. So you probably all have a corporation who's telling you, you must use the VPN when remote, because it will protect you. And your answer might be, from what? And it's actually kind of a fair assumption in this day and age. It wasn't before. In a day where VPNs used to exist as an encrypted tunnel to access systems that weren't encrypted before, back when HTTPS was just a suggestion instead of a requirement, that then it had some value in places like coffee shops where you couldn't trust who was snooping. In the days before encryption, VPN had value, but now everything basically is encrypted. So a VPN is not doing anything against malware, and a tracker can't track exactly who you are. It's not protecting your connection any better than encryption is. And most attacks already rely on security misconfiguration or human errors. And those are still a worry if you're running a VPN. Once the malware's on your computer, it doesn't really care about where it's going to get where it needs to. So I guess the third consideration is privacy, but you haven't removed you haven't like increased your privacy. You've just changed who you trust it with. And I think that's the question. You're moving your trust from your ISP, which is regulated and local, to a known company. In this case, in NordVPN's case, they have servers in Panama. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad idea to move to servers in Panama. Trust in your local government and ISPs may vary. What I'm saying is they are in places like NordVPN, created in Lithuania, based in Panama. They choose jurisdictions like this not by accident. They are deliberate feature decisions because it allows it to run with an audited no logs policy so that they can't provide data to the authorities even if they wanted to. And it's actually kind of a cool technology. We could talk about Molvad VPN because I think quite recently they were raided by the authorities to get information from their servers, which is information they never gathered. So they now have this like potentially illegal raid, which turned up nothing. Because that's the thing about RAM disks. They are stored in volatile RAM, so as soon as you pull the power, every bit of information on them is lost. There is nothing stored. And I want to say NordVPN offer that too. They offer that their VPN is a logless system, run on diskless RAM-only servers to ensure this. ProtonVPN also has a track record of no logs based in Switzerland. And the thing that's happening is you're switching your trust, but... Well, let's discuss those three different events. In one, we have Molvad, which was raided by the police who went away with nothing. In another, Proton Mail, which is the mail system provided by Proton, who also run ProtonVPN. They have on several occasions been compelled by the Swiss authorities to hand over personal metadata, so IP addresses, device details, recovery email, payment information. Sure, the encrypted emails were never accessible by design, but they still have to comply with the Swiss law. So in that way, maybe going with like NordVPN is better because they don't have to comply with these laws because everything is in Panama. Panama. But for NordVPN, the waters are a bit more murky. They had like an undisclosed breach in 2018, I think. It was disclosed in 2019. And this was before their audit of logless claims. Now, these have been audited. And I want to say breaches don't make a company bad. Let's just clear that right up away. There's no merit in that argument. We live in an era when breaches are not a case of if, but when. But the disclosing of this breach was questionable. And that being said, I don't think they've ever received the request to comply with law enforcement. And even if they did, their logless nature would prevent it, though I guess metadata must still exist somehow, like billing, contacts. And I guess the difference between metadata and data, in my opinion, is largely arbitrary. But this is the thing, you paid a subscription to replace a known trust with an unknown trust. And let's talk about like when it's worth actually using. The one note I have here says public Wi-Fi. Does the VPN genuinely help there? And I want to say no. In most modern sites, you'll see TLS encryption of your traffic. In those cases, the VPN will add nothing. If it's mostly legacy advice. It was correct once, it's just never received an update. The primary use case is geo restrictions and getting around those. Getting around this content is not available in your country, which is, you know, of course, nonsense. Grab the VPN, put yourself in the US, and problem solved. There's some consideration for journalists and high-risk users on hostile internets. If we think about anyone in non-democratic countries, anyone who might be at risk of government tampering with their messages, then VPN, yeah, that's the use case. That's the real use case of VPN. But in that case, it's kind of just one tool in an extremely serious and well-developed toolkit. The use case for you is probably going to be watching whatever British shows you want by tuning your VPN to the UK and loading Netflix. So I guess that's all I wanted to say. To close, I'll say the technology works, but the threat model being sold isn't the one that it actually covers. It's something we see across the board in cybersecurity that fear sells better than accuracy. Patterns repeat across the whole industry that FUD sells. Fear, uncertainty, doubt sells. And we'll come back to that a lot because it's one of my pet peeves with security in that we demand security from people, but then sell it at a premium that not everyone can afford. Now, if you are considering buying a VPN, know what you're afraid of or what you expect from it before buying something that claims to fix it. A VPN is a tool, like any tool. It's only useful if you're using it for the right job. If you're a journalist trying to protect a source, it's part of your toolkit. If you're trying to watch American Netflix, it's perfect. If you bought it because an ad told you hackers were lurking on public Wi-Fi, then you've probably been sold a solution to a problem you don't really have. And with that, I will say thank you. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Patched Atlas and that you join me next time.
Thank you for listening to Patched Atlas. You can find more episodes at patchedatlas.com, on YouTube, or in your podcast app.